satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 353, Three E's. I'm Severin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And video games! How exciting.
Hi, Adam.
We're also recording this with the doggo. Adam is here and currently underfoot.
Currently sniffing my knee intensely.
Yes, because you smell like another dog. And yes.
Maybe he has a knee fetish.
He was just like, zoof, 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 like when they super bury their nose against you and are just like,
I got to get that smell.
Yeah.
I got to find out what it is. What's with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to have to bring him over so he can meet Bo and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because Adam is tiny and Bo is not.
Yeah, but Bo is not actually that big of a Sheppy.
He's a runt.
Yeah, he looks bigger than he is because he's got, like, mile-long legs for his build, but he's actually pretty small for a Sheppy.
Yep, he is super skinny.
If his legs were more proportional to what a shepherd usually is, he'd be a couple, probably about an inch shorter, and he'd more reflect his actual size. He's also super skinny.
Yeah.
Like...
But he is adorable.
He is.
That's okay. So, yes, Adam is doing much better. He just finished his round of antibiotics. He's currently underneath Shiva's feet licking his paws. Got him from Plano Animal Shelter 2 Sundays back. I think I mentioned it last show that I got a dog.
Yeah, on his Petro Bow.
Yeah, accurate.
And he was on some antibiotics for a week, but he's feeling way better and is a lot happier and super energetic and... Very, very happy to see Fuzz and Shiva when they both got here.
Oh, his little tail was wagging so much.
He likes people.
Zentra and his girlfriend were over here Tuesday, and he was super excited to meet them, too. It's like anybody that can meet him and can rub his belly, he'll be your friend. There's this cute little... He also has the most noncommittal bark.
Yeah.
He's like, the outsourced dogs are going a little crazy because there's two upstairs chihuahuas that they don't like anybody, really, and they bark at everybody.
Constantly.
Which, is a problem sometimes. Adam doesn't get too excited. He'll just do a little, ugh.
It's almost like he feels that, like, I should bark at this juncture.
But I don't know. It's not going to be constructive.
Yeah.
That's one reason that I love about Bo is that when the doorbell goes off or somebody knocks, he doesn't go off of his chain, bark, 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 bark. Like, the ears will come up and he'll run and look at the door, but he doesn't go out of his skull... Bark, bark, bark,
of course,
bark,
I say that, and he walks in the other room to bark at the door. Because it may be that our neighbor is taking their dogs out to walk, and he can hear their chains.
And bark, 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 bark.
Yep.
And he thinks that they should throw off their shackles and seize the means of production.
Yes, they have nothing to lose but their collars. And he'll wander back in here. He's, like, barked once, and now he'll come back in a little bit. And probably bring his rope toy, which I think is right behind you. He's self-taught to play fetch.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll bring you the toy, set at your feet, like, you're going to throw this, right? You throw it, he'll go get it, bring it back. Clever little guy.
So Bo will play fetch indoors. Like, you can get a soft toy and fling it, and he'll grab it, and he'll bring it back, and he'll do that several times, not outside. He does not play fetch outside unless it involves a lot of ignoring him and him eventually getting bored enough to bring it to you in, like, a 5-foot radius.
Then you have to get it before he can get it, or he'll run off again.
Yeah, so indoors, he'll play fetch just fine. Outdoors, nope.
Yep.
Outdoors, he's an asshole.
Yes, as we have seen on attempts when we've done hookah casts outside.
Yes.
So this week has been E3, so there's some video game talk ahead. Have you paid any attention? Do you care? Fuzz is like... I told him that he has permission to nap.
Just don't snore. A little bit. Sarah and Siam were both watching it and discussing it, so I'm up to date with, who did pretty well, and, like, Bethesda chat the bed.
Yeah. So. But we don't have anything new at all, but there's gonna be VR versions.
Skyrim again.
Skyrim VR. That'll be a full price release. Just like apparently Fallout 4 VR will be a full price release. Just like Doom VR will be probably a full price release. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to play a Skyrim with head mounted display with all the shaders brought up to modern spec. It'd be really cool. and I'll do that eventually.
Not for $60 goddamn again.
Yeah. I can do that with my current. I have Skyrim Special Edition, and I just need to get a HMD. I'm also lucky that I can wear the headset and move with a controller, and it doesn't make me sick.
Mm.
Apparently, that's not terribly common. So yeah, like Nintendo's was really good. They teased Metroid Prime 4, mm-hmm. which that was super unexpected because everybody was like, oh, you know, if Nintendo announces a new Metroid, I'll eat my Switch. And then they announced it, and he's like, well, I've never felt so good to be owned before. And they're like, are you going to do it? No. It's like, getting a Switch is really hard. The new Mario looks super fun, very weird. He possesses things with his hat that is a ghost instead. His hat is a ghost, and it possesses people. There was a joke tweet, it was like, fact. Do people die when Mario possesses them with their hat? Yes. Does it hurt when this happens? Absolutely.
Okay, so another take I saw on that was, what if Mario was just this hapless plumber and he was the hat all the time?
Yeah. Or the, you, a fool. Video games offer nothing useful or cool. Me, wise. Mario just possessed a Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Mario looks really good. There's going to be a new full-on mainline Pokemon on the Switch coming soon. Like, soon, like, probably end of 2018, probably. But that'll be really cool to have a proper HD graphics Pokemon game. Because even the better screens on the new 2DS and new 3DS aren't that hot. They're still, like 640-480. They're not really not big. That was really it for, like, Nintendo. I watched a number of the things, but a lot of the stuff that, like, both Microsoft and Sony was like, hey, it's shooters and shooters.
Yeah.
And shooters. Wolfenstein 2 and Far Cry 5 for your hashtag white genocide. Getting on.
Yeah.
Just all of them.
Sarah, who does not usually care for the Far Cry stuff, is like, I'm buying that.
All of the games up to this have been very exotic locales where it makes sense for the outside world to be difficult. This is
like Montana.
This is in Montana. There's crazy cult compounds up in the Northwest like that.
Fuck, they could have made it in Waco.
Yeah. Well, the reason they didn't want to set it in Texas is that Texas is pretty goddamn flat.
Yeah, and you can't swing from trees.
Yeah. It looks really cool. You got buddies, and you're basically taking out a cult. And one of the things that Austin Walker of Vice Waypoint was pointing out is like, man, this is the most culturally diverse Doomsday cult I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, we're going to do all this shit that's key to cults from the last 50-100 years, minus the racism. Seems very odd. So there's going to be a... They're not keeping with the demographics of the local region, let's say. Wolfenstein 2 killing Nazis in the 1960s U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Milkshake Nazis.
Milkshake Nazis?
Yeah, there's one of the scenes in the trailer where you're at a diner, and a Nazi walks up and orders a milkshake and gets the milkshake and drinks the milkshake. And you don't murder him at that moment. But I'm sure you will give it time.
Does he get a milkshake moustache, but that looks like a little Hitler stash?
That'd be funny, but I don't think so.
Oh.
The only other thing that really looks super cool that I've seen is Anthem, which is basically where all of BioWare's time seems to have gone to. Take, like, what they wanted to do with Mass Effect Andromeda and Destiny, but done by BioWare. And it's like an open world, you're a pilot in a sweet mech suit killing aliens and helping the humans that are like the colonists on this planet that live inside their fortified walls, and you're one of the rangers that goes out in your robot suits and helps the people that outside the walls and blows shit up and all this other stuff. It had a really nice, probably bullshot video, but it looks neat, and the guy that's writing it is the guy that wrote Mass Effect 1 and 2, so it might have a pretty good story. So we'll see. It's one of those probably coming out late 2018,
mm-hmm.
probably 2019 at this rate, who knows.
What was that other one with, like, the super anthro Fifth Element kind of...
Oh,
that
was, yeah, Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, that was actually something that I forgot to put on my list.
Oh, I saw that trailer. Holy crap, it looks good.
Yeah.
With the monkey, right?
Yeah, that's the monkey and the pig dude and all that fun stuff.
I want to just see a CGI movie like that.
Yeah, so it's a prequel to a, at this point, I think, 15-year-old game for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox, like original Xbox, that basically the gist of the story is that all the animal people, it is totally one of the sci-fi universes where furries are made to be a slave race. So that's, like, the gist of the animal people in that world. And so that explains the furries, which is cool. I mean, it's a fairly common sci-fi anthro-fantasy trope, but it's I really dug the future Space India aesthetic as well. That's, again, not something that they've done. It's like, it's always like future Neo-Tokyo or neon America. It's like, no, this is
Space India.
Neon space future India with a cool spaceship, too. That's one of those games that the dude's been wanting to make and people have been wanting. Actually, somebody surfaced an article from 2012. Like, Ubisoft says, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is coming, just wait a little longer. And it was an article posted in, like, 2011, 2012. And if you need to get your Nazi killing on, Wolfenstein Old Blood and New Order and are on sale for $10 till the 19th. So if you want to get some Nazi killing going on in a pretty dark realization of, like, it's like an alt history where it takes place in, like, the 1950s, and the Nazis won, and they have taken over most of Europe and done lots of bad Nazi shit. So it has, like, Jimi Hendrix as a character, and the Beatles are... They redid the world, so, like, a lot of the popular music from that era was done, now sung in German. Also, Fortnite by Epic Games.
I didn't catch that one.
It actually wasn't an E3, but it's been one of those games that has been... Oh, yes, this game totally exists. For 4 years at this point, and finally has like a release date of next month. It's a open world base building game with also like tower defense, where like you and three other dudes work together to build a fort and defend it against waves of zombies and shit while you're trying to protect the MacGuffin.
What was that? I think it's an RPG. It was a cyberpunk RPG where feminism is bad, and it took over or something like that.
It was called The Last Knight.
It's like it's a completely ridiculous concept. Yeah, it's like, what if
Star
concept?
Trek was bad?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, the lead writer had some real bad opinions. His story is basically like in a dark future where women are paid extremely the same as men and
paid extremely the same.
Well, that was the joke take on the guy's opinions, but it was basically,
yeah,
seems to have some bad opinions about like, oh, universal basic income is a thing, but people have lost the ability to create because they have to find meaning. And I'm like, wouldn't a mechanized society that the people don't have to worry about their next meal be more creative?
Because all they can do is...
You know, basically, it's, again, it's like, what if Star Trek was bad? That one, I'm not going to give it any more mind space. It's just like, I saw that. And the joke was like, wow, I've witnessed the fastest milkshake duck ever. So, to give you guys some context...
All right,
milkshake,
yeah.
Milkshake duck.
I have heard this term, yeah.
So, a milkshake duck, it's like the tweet that originated, it's like, oh, look, it's milkshake duck, the delightful duck that enjoys milkshakes. 5 minutes later, we regret to inform you that milkshake duck is racist. Basically, it's the, oh, look at this cool thing, it's neat, and then you like look at them for half a second and you realize, oh, actually, they're not good at all.
It's like how it turned out, like, the Tron guy was, like, a really shitty person in real life.
Or, like, the guy that won, like, oh, look at this, this guy won the most money on Plinko ever on The Price is Right. Oh, shit, he's, like, a college Republican for Trump. Spokesperson.
Oh,
and like Orson Scott Card writes a wonderful sci-fi novel with an incredible twist, and he's a raging homophobe who's actively legislating against me.
Yeah.
Or like Tim, what's his name? Tim Taylor
Tim Allen? Tim Allen, yeah.
Tim Allen, who's like, oh, he's this beloved comic in this TV show. Oh, he compared being a Republican in Hollywood to being a Jew in Germany in the 30s.
Yeah. So a milkshake duck is someone's like, wow, that's cool. Oh, shoot.
You know, and add the names of like any of these super popular YouTubers that have done something stupid.
So in an unrelated thing, there was that one that was the YouTuber that he's only had 500,000 subs. He was some pretty boy 24-year-old YouTube guy. Basically, dude was literally hunting down 15, 16-year-old girls. 14. And getting
the one I read about.
There was 14 specifically in the article, where he was getting them to basically pull down their pants, show, you know, flash their genitals, twerk.
Specifically, wiggling their ass at him. And he wanted them to specifically say stuff like, this ass is only 14 years old.
Yeah.
It's only 14. I'm only 14. And it's like, so like he was really getting off on the fact that it was very age specific. So there's no way he can do that. I thought she was 34. You know, kind of defense.
Yeah. Where is this? Damn it. It wasn't that long ago. I was trying to bring up the guy's name, but there's like a 19-page criminal complaint that the guy was very, very explicit in what he wanted these kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, yo, he totally got caught, and whoops.
It was like if the girl was like, I'm not sure about this, or I'm really tired, I have to go to bed. Well, I guess you're not really my biggest fan, and like, total
it's some mental real dark
manipulation.
Like, yeah. This shit's happened for decades with musicians and artists and shit, but it's just one of those, oh, look, it's through this new medium.
Yeah.
Also, it didn't help that he was getting these kids to send them explicit shit over, like, Facebook, which they retain everything. So this guy is going to jail for, like, minimum 15 years, and he's only 24. So he's fucked.
Yeah.
Don't do that, kids. Don't do kids, kids.
Just don't do fucking kids, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm the only person playing Pokemon Go here.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I play off and on, but I haven't for a couple of months.
I've been conferring with Ajax to be like, mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna go out and Pokemon this weekend, maybe.
Yeah, because like I'd seen Ajax tweet that like he was looking for someone to go out and do that with, and I was like, Saffron plays. But, like, you guys weren't in the same team or something.
We're on opposite teams, but if I'm just going out to capture Pokemon, like, mm-hmm. I'm too low level to do
if any. If you're just looking for someone to, like, go walk around with.
Be like, oh, shit, here's this or that and the other.
Yeah.
Like, right now there's an event that's fire and ice Pokemon are super common.
Mm.
So I've managed to go from having zero to having two Rapidash to having two Arcanine and a Ninetales, and like, oh, look, it's these pretty, very popular and furry art Pokemon types that didn't basically exist around here.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that I've captured like one or two of ever are now super common for the moment. Oh, great, I'm managing to fill like missing spots in the Pokedex. That's been nice. That also includes the fire starters.
Lean against my foot, he goes.
Yep. He's like, I'm gonna rest on your foot and look at you. And well, he also put his rope toy at your foot there, Shiva.
I see that.
He's like, I want you to toss it. Dog distractions! Ah! Akon was last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That was indeed a thing. So Akon this year was in Fort Worth, and it was downtown, which was an interesting challenge. So on the plus side, it was in downtown Fort Worth, and there's plenty of little restaurants that were open this weekend. Like, downtown generally shuts down on the weekends, but because there was an event, they were open. So there was Jimmy John's and a Subway and a few places. There was a couple of Starbucks around. So there was places to go eat nearby, which is way better than the previous BS around the old Anatole. There was literally nothing nearby.
Mm-hmm.
The parking was far more reasonable. I mean, it was still no in-out, but it was a scaled rate. Plus, given that it was the weekend, if you were willing to park like half a mile away at the Sundance Square parking garage, it was free. You could park downtown free on the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Now, I parked there the first day and only paid $12 for being there all day. So parking in Fort Worth is super reasonable relative. And I managed to park literally across the street from the convention center for $18
mm-hmm.
a day, which is, again, still cheaper than having to pay $20, no one out in a surface lot, and walk half a mile under, like, down the street, under the bridge, through the big parking lot, into the building. I did not get to see any of the convention outside of my tiny space in the exhibit hall. So the artist alley and the vendor hall were smashed together into this one enormous space, basically the large the exhibits hall.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, the paths are really packed at points. So it seems like their attendance was not terribly impacted. But man, like the artist alley was super claustrophobic and
way too cramped.
Yeah, there was times where like, oh look, a group of cosplayers is walking down this hall, and oh Jesus, someone asked them for a photo, and oh, traffic jam. Fuck.
Oh, no one's going anywhere.
Yeah. It seemed to go well, and I had a little pant.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Now you fucked up.
Pause.
Don't watch music videos on Facebook.
It was a neat video, and then...
But it auto-played music, ah!
Well, and I was watching it silent, and then I tapped it to see if it was nearly done.
Oh.
And then
it's like, oh, that means you want to make it play at maximum volume, ah! Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently.
The panel went well. It was actually very a technical panel. It was talking about the primary differences between multi-fandom genre and single show conventions, and, like, their life cycles and this, that, and the other. It was primarily, like, we still shilled Archon and did a lot of QA, but we talked a lot about how an anime con or a furry con is going to have a different life cycle than, say, a Doctor Who con, or in our case, My Little Pony con.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to fill the 90-minute thing and still had questions, people asking questions when our time came up. We actually had someone, like, poke their head in and be like, hey, my panel's supposed to go. And I'm like, oh, I'm super sorry. Normally they have somebody come in and glare at you for, like, 15 minutes. Super sorry. Panel's over, guys. Sorry. And we file out. Sorry.
You know, Doctor Who's been around 53 years, so I think our con scene will be just
fine. Yeah. But, like, we...
Booyah!
We were talking conventions that are of similar size, like WhoFest or AllCon or, in this case, Nightmare Nights. And their usage of space and what they do. And it was a very technical panel because they wanted more technical panels this year. So it still had like 30 people show up at an anime con at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. So,
yeah,
you know, we expected maybe 10. So that was great.
That sounds like a good turnout, actually. Yeah.
And the PonyCon scene is drying up real fast. Pacific PonyCon is already not coming back.
Pacific?
Pony? Yeah, it was in San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Brony Can has announced that this is going to be their last year. Basically, they cited, because border crossing is getting increasingly hard for people, that it's impacting their bottom line significantly. They're in Vancouver, so getting like show guests, they literally walk down the street, essentially. But people still have to come into Canada to go to the con, which limits what people can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate. Also, my car's finally been totaled, and I'm still waiting on my insurance company.
So they did finally give you...
Yes, Monday. I dropped my car off on the 6th. But the car update, it took 2 days short of 4 months for the car insurance company to be like, all right, yeah, we'll total it. It took 3 days after going into the shop, but it just took that long to get it into the shop.
Mm.
Thanks to our weather.
Because you were driving really slow, just creeping along their driveway.
I literally pushed it the entire way. That's why it took so long.
Yeah.
Because
you're so swole.
Yep. I am strong.
Adam sat in the driver's seat and steered.
Yep. And hit the horn.
Yeah.
Little beep beep. Little beeps to go with the little oofs.
It's a fucking adorable mental image. Anyway. Yeah.
Yes. He is an adorable little dog.
He is. Like the, he looks bigger in the pictures.
Yeah.
And then when I met him, I was like, oh my God, you're so little.
He's the size of a cat.
Yeah.
Like I said, my cats are heavier than he is. At least the two kittens.
Yep.
Kittens that are now a year old, but.
Well, and he's about a year.
Because
so. He's not going to get much bigger.
Yeah.
Loki's 15 pounds. Last we weighed him, Min is 14 and a half.
And he was 12.6 when he weighed him at the vet. So he's 12.6
iPads. I have cats bigger than you.
Yep.
Yeah. I when I said that to you, I had just finished watching the Apple keynote, and they were talking about how their iPad is still only a pound. So when you were like, yeah, he's 12.6 pounds, I was like, he's 12.6 iPads.
Yep. So he is doing a lot better. And probably has put on a little bit of weight now that he's eating. He doesn't feel like crap.
Yep.
I mean, I'm still following the, you know, feeding guidelines for his weight. It's like a cup of food a day, which is like 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like giving him his pills and peanut butter probably has helped too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He figured out the little pill pockets real fast.
What's a pill pocket?
They're like a little treat. It's kind of round, and you can. It's got, if you squeeze it, kind of has a little pocket inside that you can put a pill into.
They're little open. They're like a soup can shape, And you can put the pill in the middle, and he
but they're edible?
Yeah, it's like a chicken flavored thing. It smells like chicken.
Oh, okay.
And he would eat the, he would take the thing, chew every bit, go, and spit out the pill. All
right.
He's like, this doesn't taste like chicken. Mm-hmm. But with the peanut butter, you just get a glob on your finger, put the pill inside, kind of roll it up into a little ball, and he'll just swallow it whole. He does not give a fuck. He's just like, oh.
Gone.
Nice.
Then he'll lick your finger. It's like, is there more?
It's so. Like whenever Bo gets a either piece of meatloaf or steak or usually something meat related, he just inhales it. There's no chewing involved. It's just gulp.
Yeah, and so I've been very careful to be like, okay, I'm giving you a small glup so that if you like swallow it entirely, I'm not going to have to do doggy Heimlich. So far, so good.
Which apparently a dog that size literally involves probably picking him up by his back legs and swinging him. Like I'm not even.
I know
joking.
You're not. I'm just like
I'd actually read that online. There was this quite informative PDF that was posted around about how to do the Heimlich on your dog. And on small dogs and cats, it was literally pick them up by their back legs. And there's not room to swing a cat in this room. Like,
I'd be like, okay.
The momentum just propels whatever's stuck in their throat out.
I
would be
like, I have to take you outside.
And yeah.
And my neighbors would be very...
It seems a little abusive, but it's better than them choking to death.
Yeah. Better than death?
Yeah.
But, yes, being a dog parent has been... the start of it has been interesting. And, like, the first night that we gave him the towel to be a blanket and he didn't wake me up at 6 in the morning or 3 in the morning, I was like, is he okay? And I was like, Panther, did you take him out? He's like, no, I slept through the night. Okay. And, like, I get up and go out there and he's, like, still on the couch. Halfway wrapped in his towel, and he's like, hi. Stands up, pops over to me.
Wag, 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 wag.
I was like, hi, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's very short-haired. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he feels the cold.
He associates now that if I go to put my keys in my pocket, that's time to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll grab my phone and grab my house keys, bring his lead out. And he auto-sits. He learned to sit.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, I'm going to wait for you to do this. Mm-hmm. Then he'll hop up and be like super happy.
Aww.
And so then it's like, all right, we're gonna go out, which also is when I have to leave. He's like, no, you're not taking me out.
I was gonna say, I see disappointment if the car keys are the
see, Bo knows he's not going unless we get touch the leash. Now, the moment our hands land on the leash, he goes pretty much into this
full-on exciting,
oh my
dog.
God, oh my God, I'm going. Let me go. He's got this thing. The more he wants something, there's one of the paws comes up a little bit as up as I want. But the more he wants something, he'll start basically like with it tucked tight to his chest. This is kind of like the please, please, please.
I'm looking plaintive and cute. Please give me thing.
The higher the paw it gets, and the more tucked to his chest it gets, the more he really wants something. But that's basically please. I can't wait to go.
With Adam, when he sees, like, Panther making a peanut butter sandwich or something in the morning, dogs will do this thing where they'll make eye contact with you and then look at the thing they want. And so he's like, looks Panther, looks peanut butter, looks Panther, looks peanut butter. I'm trying to give you a hint. I want peanut butter. or the slice of cheese. I want some food. I want some treat. Never mind the fact that he's got, you know, a bowl of food in his crate.
I mean, to be fair, if you had a choice of eating cereal all the time and everybody else gets, like, steak and burgers...
True.
Wouldn't you get tired of dog cereal?
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying him the expensive-ass Nutro Ultra small breed toy breed adult. $20 for a 4-pound bag, but a 4-pound bag lasts him half a month.
I'm just chuckling at, like, the random crunching noise there. I wonder if that'll come over.
When he's chewing on the horn that's about the size of his head?
It probably won't. These mics aren't that sensitive. But, yeah, he's currently sitting behind Fuzz and Shiva chewing on a horn. Part of a cow horn chew that he has declared as his. Whenever I've been working in here for a while, he'll just kind of bring his toys in here. So he can be around me and have his selection of chew toys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to chew on this. I'm going to chew on that.
Yeah.
All right. And he's like, all right, I'm going to drop the rope on your foot. That means play with me. Throw the rope for me. So I've talked a lot. How are you? How are y'all?
Currently unemployed.
I made notes.
You're not unemployed. You're just not working yet.
Well,
if you were hired.
I'm hired, but I have not gone and done the full onboarding, do the, like the I-9 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I still have to do that. So yesterday was my last day at a tech company. So walked out with my boxes shut, and, you know, now I've got 4 days until I start work again. And there's, I don't know, I've always had that nervousness where I've left one job and starting another, and there's something's going to happen where the company will go, oh, sorry, you can't do anything. And then I'm going to be stuck rocking hard place with no job. It's happened before. It's happened to people I've known. It happened to one of my coworkers at the tech company when basically different divisions of the company were playing games with... So, long story short, worked for a contracting company for the tech company. There's a division out in San Francisco, which was our main product. So, contracting... When you work for a contractor versus working for a regular company, there's a lot of bells and whistles that you have to go through in order to avoid being considered an employee of the main company, which means if they treat you as an employee without giving you all the benefits of an employee, that's a big deal. That's where a lot of the lawsuits have come in the last couple of years, because basically they would... Mm-hmm. come in and treat contractors like employees without giving them any benefits and never hiring them on perm. So there's these whole hoops and whistles that contracting companies go through, which, long story short, is basically with the way that it was set up at this company, basically the major tech company turns to a contractor and says, hey, we're going to let you do this work. And at that point, the tech company is entrusting that the contracting company will do the job adequately. The tech company cannot, like, line item veto or talk to or give directives to individual technicians. They can go back to the contracting company saying, hey, your numbers aren't meeting this. This guy is messing up. And basically, they have to talk to the tech company, or the contracting company. Contracting company has to handle it internally. But a person at tech company can't turn around to a contractor and say, and give direct supervision, direct impact, direct anything, because that's basically kind of between being an employee and working for another company. So what happened is we needed to bring on another person. They'd identified them. They've gone through the hiring process. Everything locally was gravy, because the contracting company had gone through, vetted him, got him signed out, they'd ran background checks, and everything was golden. He was due to start, and more than that, he was originally a local boy who had moved up to Colorado or something, and wasn't enjoying it up there, so he was looking to make a jump back to Texas. He actually knew people that were on our team, which is how he got hired on, and he was a decent one. So he moves back to Texas only to have the San Francisco office say, you don't get to hire him unless we interview him and we okay him. Which, if he was being hired on as a full-time employee to the tech company, is perfectly valid. But due to the nature of contracting, they don't get to, they have to hand off that trust. They don't get a say.
Yeah.
They have to trust that the contracting company will do a good job. That's the very nature of having a contractor. It's like talking to an outside vendor, telling them who they can and cannot hire to work at their company.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way. So this poor guy had already moved back to Texas, and he was due to start like on Monday when they pulled the shit on like the prior Thursday or Friday, and he moved back to Texas, and then they told him that, well, fine, you can hire him. We're not going to set up any credentials for him.
That seems like a bit of a problem.
Yeah. So they could come in and he could sit in the office, but they wouldn't give him logins for anything. I mean, he could have basic logins for, like, generally working at the tech company, like email and all that other stuff. But the logins that he needed to work our specific tools and our specific products, so he could actually work on this project. The company out in San Fran wasn't going to, or the office.
Did this work, result in a lawsuit or anything?
No.
Because this sounds all kinds of illegal.
So then that was going really weird, and they were having to educate the office out in San Francisco that it doesn't work this way. You can't do this. If you do this, you're breaking the law, and you're opening up tech company to a lawsuit, which they've had hit before, which is one reason why they're gun-shy about it.
Yeah.
And I think it was gradually getting worked out and trying to find a way around it, and then we had another guy in our team quit, got a job closer to home. Then they had a guy lined up, so they ended up just bringing him on board anyways. But I don't know if that guy had quit, if they would have actually moved forward with this kid. Mm. And he's been a great worker, so, I mean, there has been zero issues with him. You know, not as fast as some, but he's not as technical as some of us, but he's nice, he's, you know, he's a good worker. So, but yeah, they were going to fuck him over, basically. He'd moved states, and they were going to say, no, we're not going to hire you.
That's really fucked up.
Well, go ahead and hire you, but you can't do anything for our product. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my nightmare scenario whenever you're changing jobs is like you've released from one job, you haven't started at the other.
And then they change
hopefully between A and B, shit don't go sideways.
I had a friend that got, I think she was accepted to a university, a grad school that she'd applied for. And she got the acceptance letter, was all happy about it and shit. And then she got a letter right after that that said, whoops, sorry, we thought you were Canadian.
What?
Because it was for a school, I think somewhere in Canada. I don't know if it was Vancouver or something like that. And I guess, you know, different visa requirements, you know, obviously. Mm-hmm. But apparently one arm of an administration wasn't talking to the other one or something like that.
And she got fucked over because of it?
It worked out because she got accepted by, like, two other schools in the States, and yeah, I guess she's picked one. But it was just so... I thought it was going to be like that. We're like, oh, sorry, we found out you're not Canadian.
No, it was basically... The division out in San Francisco is a company that got acquired by tech company. Mm. They're still being brought in underneath tech company's major umbrella and being taught what it's like to be a big boy and not a startup.
Mm.
Because they are very startup and very rough on the edges and very unprofessional. Well, professional but not polished, if that makes sense. But they're very startup.
So in my day job, we got purchased by the shitty younger company, and which is now in the process of shitting up the venerable old professional company.
And that's just like, so they bought your company because your company is one of the top names in the industry. Like, they're known for doing a really good job, being really reliable. They're rock solid, and they bought your company, and now they're changing everything.
Well, they're making it like their company. They just wanted to slap a reliable name onto their shit show. I know, but
they're just going to shit up your company's name by going about it the same way that's been broken at their company for however many years and basically ruin the name. Yeah. You can buy a name, but if you don't keep it good, then it's not going to do you jack or shat.
It was only done for the shareholders. That was literally the only reason to do it. And people, both companies were laid off. So it's not like one company, as far as the employee level goes, one company didn't benefit over the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I so want out of this day job. You know, if it comes down to where we're getting rid of the work from home option or something like that, then I'm just going to find something else. Because that's pretty much the only thing that's kind of, the only benefit that's keeping me there right now.
So Siam works for one of the larger ISPs for the country. He doesn't work for, like, the ISP portion. He works it for a little side division.
Are they going to try to fuck him on the work from home?
Oh, no. They've already fucked him. They've fucked him several times. Well, the latest in their shit show, because they are tanking harder than an Exxon Valdez, and his division feels like it's on the chopping block anyways because they're their little red-headed stepchild part of the company. they were an experimental thing that they launched like 5 years ago, and now, no. So last week was Memorial Day, right? So Siam worked, and he was supposed to get time and a half and holiday pay. So yeah. Normally 8 hours, plus the hours he did work, he was supposed to get time and a half.
Yeah.
He got paid today. Time and a half was missing.
Of course.
Figure out, and so he went back and said, what happened to my time and a half? Well, what had happened is, so that was Monday. On Friday that week, he took off 2 hours to go to the doctor.
So he fell under the 40 hours.
No, and not only that, new company policy. If you do not work 40 hours that week, you don't get your holiday time and a half. And they gave out voluntary time off all week long, constantly pushed it. It's like, do you want five? Do you want to go home early tonight? Do you want to go home or a couple hours?
That's super fucked up.
Yeah. So they were pushing it hard that week.
Wow, that is shady as fuck.
Yeah. So, and this was a policy was only enacted back in April. And it, when he pulled up the letter, it was in really fine print at the bottom of the letter.
Mm-hmm.
That what? You have to work a full 40 hours the week of holiday in order to qualify for holiday hours. Never mind that you work the holiday. Never mind, a lot of jobs will have an issue where if you're going to be off a holiday, in order to get that 8 hours of pay, you have to work the day before and after. You can't just flake off and fuck off. You have to, like, do the bracketing days. That's not uncommon. It's so that people don't call off and take a long weekend without, like, arranging it.
Yeah, God forbid people have a holiday weekend.
So, but no, they changed it so if you don't work 40 hours that week, whether it was excused, even if you take arranged PTO, doesn't count. If you go, they offered voluntary time off. If you take that, you're fucked. Basically, if you don't have a flat 40 hours, even if you work at holiday, you don't get your fucking time and a half.
That is super shit.
Yeah, and then finding out that they then went around and pushed, you want a couple hours off early this week, volume's low, it's not low.
Uh-huh.
We're just looking for a way to get people to not get their time and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was...
I mean, and all it saves them is, like, maybe a total, like, 4 hours of pay to somebody.
Yeah.
Who's probably not making all that much.
What's worse is that this particular rule only applies to this particular center in Texas. There's other centers, especially one up in New York State. They don't get hit by these same rules.
Because we're a work-for-hire state.
Yeah.
And they can do anything you want to a Texas worker, and it doesn't matter. You don't like it? Fucking quit. We don't care. But I bet in New York State there's some protection against that kind of horseshit.
So, yeah, he's waiting for me to get settled in my job, and he's going to start looking because he is done with this bullshit. Mm-hmm. They are an awful company to work for. Mm-hmm. They were in Forbes' top 10 worst companies to work for like 2 years ago, and, yeah, they really are awful.
They're earning it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going for that number one spot.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. The day that that article got posted and it started getting shared around, one, they said anyone caught sharing it would get terminated, and then they start IP blocking the sites that had that particular article internal.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck them so hard.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, they are awful.
That's a really weird...
And this is... Keep in mind that he worked for Verizon previously, and Verizon is a shit show to work for.
Yeah.
This is... They don't know their
heads. Managed to be worse.
Yeah. So... Yeah.
I will say that the company that Panther worked for originally, like the first company he worked for, it was a shit show and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do dumb shit like this and, like, not give him raises and blah, blah, blah. Basically, he was really, really good at what he did, knew all this shit, and turned out he was getting paid, like, $10,000 less than someone else who'd been hired before him. And he was like, cool, you have a week to give me a raise to comparable with this other person, or I'm quitting and taking my knowledge base with me.
Nice.
And they did. Wow. And then 7 years ago at this point, he basically got recruited to do contract hire, and then he got hired and has been at his company now for 6 years, and it has been significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
He's making not quite three times what he made there at his original company now. We were very well off. it's one of those things where, like, his company, like, it got bought by a different company, but they haven't been doing anything too terribly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing shady on that scale. Like, they're super flexible with the, yo, if you're in the office, cool. If you come in a little late, cool. If you're getting your work done, that's what matters.
And don't do it too often, I imagine.
Yeah, or it's like somebody's like, I'm not feeling good, I'm going to work from home, and he works from home, you know, sits on the couch and does his work, and mm-hmm. that's fine.
Yeah.
As long as they're like, basically, like, as long as you're getting your shit done and nothing in your department is catching fire, they don't care all that much.
Mm-hmm.
It also helps that he's the, like, senior in his department.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is the standard person, then there's the senior person, and he is the senior.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, he's been there the longest, has the most knowledge, and
mm-hmm.
he's one of the people that, like, a very small team of people that, again, if, like, one or two people quit, that company falls over and catches on fire because a key department is no longer staffed.
Mm-hmm.
So he has some very good leverage with the company for the time being. Hopefully you'll get your shit started soon, because... Yeah, limbo ain't fun.
Yeah.
It's start Monday, and hopefully everything will be just fine, but that limbo is always like, uncomfortable.
Yeah, and on my end, I'm very stressed lately, and I think that's mostly because of the run-up to Anthrocon.
Mm.
And we submitted, like over 20 titles to our printer already this month. And, like, we've gotten a bunch of proofs in. We've got massive stock order. And I posted a picture on Twitter today of, like, so I have my work desk at home. And to the left of me, I have, it's in the production room. So I have this this banquet table that we use for sorting orders and storing various things and stuff like that. Right now, it is just absolutely packed with boxes. So I posted the picture. And it's basically like I'm in a box fort.
mm-hmm.
This is Fort Box. And that doesn't even count the boxes we've already unpacked, the boxes on the kitchen table, and the boxes that are yet to come. It's like, so many books. So many books. Ah. Like,
many
I'm at a point where, like, I don't even want to go to Anthrocon, you know? It is just a work trip. You know, I'm going to get up, work the table, find some food, hobble back to my hotel, and collapse.
Yep.
And I'm going to do that for 3 days, and then I'm going to fly home. You know, I don't know. The last couple of years, I just really haven't had any fun. Tyrion still has fun, which is nice.
It's just a super work trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it just AC that's like that, or is it all cons these days?
I've enjoyed other cons a little bit. I think I might be getting a little burned out on conventions,
yeah.
But also with my back problems,
uh-huh.
cons are not great anymore, but in particular Anthrocon, because
it's so much walking.
It's hella huge. It's really spread out. The convention center, where the hall where the dealer's room is, has concrete floors that are really unforgiving. And you're just, like, I mean, for people like me to have a back issue and are out of shape, we're just dying by the end of the day, you know?
You just need to hire someone to go in your stead. Just get, like, Tyrion and you have...
Well, so far we have...
Tyrion,
Zia, Buck, and Ajax are all going this year as well. And, like, but we really need, like, 5 or 6 people at that con, because it is just that fucking busy.
Yeah.
That's the only con like that where I'm like, we need like 5 people.
And at that point, also, you have to worry about like rooms and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and, you know, Tyrion's also said Anthrocon is the con where I should go because be the face of the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is still, it's my company. And like, Tyrion can talk to artists and writers and stuff like that. But like, I do like a lot of the back office stuff, you
mm-hmm.
know, the accounting and working out distribution deals and stuff like that. So, like, when artists buy copies of their books to sell at their tables, I handle the paperwork side on that.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to Soap Wolf or Hard Blush or Club Stripes and say, hey, let me get some of your product to sell on our store, I handle that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a lot of business that For Planet does at Anthrocon that is not strictly selling books to customers that are like...
It's a lot of networking, it sounds like.
There's networking stuff, and there's just like, hey, we want to add the new volume of Heat to our website. I need to get some stock from Sofa Wolf, you know? Mm-hmm. If Club Strike brings out a new book or whatever. You know? And yeah, there is some other personal networking involved, too. Like, I mean, it's so big, so obviously there's a lot of writers go. You know, and last year, there was a fun event I went to. There's a writing web podcast, which I've mentioned before, called Fangs and Fonts. Mm-hmm. It's a furry writing podcast. It's done by guys up in Canada. And they have a tradition of, at cons, they'll do a segment called Shit Writers Say. And it's basically like, warning, this is an NSFW edition of this podcast. This was recorded at some con, and it has like 10 or 15 writers. And it really is just like as many people as we can like cram into a hotel room, set up a couple of mics at a couple of strategic points. And there's very little structure or mm-hmm. reason behind it. And it's just a discussion. And sometimes a couple of them were really goofy and off the wall and really sweary. But then there's been like a couple of them where we've actually had like some really meaningful discussions about, you know, the craft of writing and the publishing industry and stuff like that. And I was on one of those at Anthrocon last year because Ocean, who's one of the hosts of Fangs and Fonts, had come to the con with his podcasting gear. So that was cool. But I didn't go to. I don't usually go to a lot of panels at Anthrocon.
Well, so much dealing for you.
Yeah, but so that's my life right now.
Anthrocon, Anthrocon, Anthrocon.
I haven't even had time to promote the shit that we're bringing out at Anthrocon. I've been too busy working on the shit that we're bringing out at Anthrocon.
Hey,
like I need to upload everything to the web store and start tweeting covers. And
I promoted Catathology.
Yes. Thank you for posting. Like, this is the good shit.
Can confirm this is good shit. And he was like, oh, I'm jealous. And I'm like, yeah.
Well. Yeah, I'll have to send him a it's copy. Like, he'll have copies at AC.
It's like, well, if you lived in this area and could go over to your place and smoke hookah on your side porch,
yeah.
You could look at your Thick Giraffe comics. But you don't.
Oh. That was a nice night, though.
Yeah.
This was a couple weeks ago. Savern came over, and like I had this little side patio that's off of my kitchen, and it's like, I say little. It's actually it's a halfway decent size,
yeah.
But it's definitely big enough for like a couple of people to just chill out there in chairs.
Like a little smaller than this room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a little smaller than this room. It's a decent-sized little patio. And I was actually worried that it was going to be too warm because it had been in the 80s that day and kind of humid. But by the time you came over, yeah, it was 80 degrees, but all the humidity had kind of gone, and it was actually kind of a pleasant night. And I was like, here, you know, check out this Fat Giraffe book. Whoa. It's 140-something pages long. Hardcover.
Mm.
This thick, heavy giraffe book.
So, your sunroom, I can't remember, does it have a tile floor?
Yes, it does, yeah. Mm.
Unless Taryn would kill us, I could always make you a couple of those tables that I made for mine.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it in a while, but Tyrion doesn't like the idea of smoking in the house.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't really like the idea of me smoking, but he just sort of waves it away.
Yeah, but because
I don't do it, like, all the time.
Yeah. It's like, occasionally, it's a toy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not.
It's a vice, but, you know, it's not like I really like drink or do heroin.
I was going to say, it's not like you're downing a couple of bottles of hard liquor a night. There's
casual.
Liquor and pills, man. It's the worst way to fly because then you're dead. But no, I only do heroin on my birthday.
Mm.
You know, like raining in the new year. No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, well, we're past an hour at this point, so we should stop and save. And I think I may need to take Adam out real briefly.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we will be right back.
You're listening to KNOT, all of today's top hits and animal sex noises.
And we're back. Adam has been walked, and he pooped, and all that fun stuff, as you do
when you own a dog.
Yep. Every few hours, though he manages to sleep through the night nowadays, which is pretty nice. I don't have to get up and take him out at like 3 in the morning. That's always exciting. So we have a few emails this week. You can always email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can send us a non-asks via our Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com. And just ask us kind of pretty much anything. You can woo at us if you desire, and we can't fine you because we're not the government. So we've got, looks like, 4 emails this week. Do you want to start us off, Fuzz?
Sure.
Put you on the spot. Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Hey, Kay. Subject line is RAR and BLFC report, which, thanks to the podcast for what it's worth, BLFC is now pronounced bullfuck.
What?
Hey, guys, it's TJ again. Hope this is able to make it to you for tonight's show. It wasn't, but we'll read it now, because they recorded last week's show really early. So it has been an exciting 2 weeks for me, and I still wanted to report back after a few days to digest it all. I had the wonderful opportunity to not only go to BLFC, but also was selected to participate in the 2016-2017 Regional Anthropomorphic Writers Retreat, and both were great experiences. RAR was held this year in South Lake Tahoe, California, about an hour from Reno, Nevada. It was a beautiful location where I worked with ocean tigrox, bunny, significant otter, rift sari, and night-eyes dayspring to critique, write, and learn together with our instructors, Kyle Gold and Ryan Campbell. Thursday was essentially a rest day after travel, but by Friday afternoon we were looking at reading and critiquing between 24,000 to 36,000-ish words a night of our fellow writers' work. Before we critiqued each other, we had a lecture from Kyle, Ryan, or sometimes both of them at once. Then half of us shared on Saturday, while the other half went on Sunday. Each attendee got 5 minutes to speak to the writer uninterrupted about our positive thoughts and what we felt could have been improved on and how. After the 5 of us spoke, then the instructors got as much time as they wanted. Between reading and critiquing, though, we were also tasked with writing a new piece that was under 6,000 words in length. And that was fun and scary and challenging all at once. I don't think I've felt that pressured on a vacation ever before. I'm still thanking Ocean for directing me to a few other jazzy playlists that allow me to focus on writing. But, of course, we took time to try and enjoy the sights. On Monday, once all stories were submitted and we were waiting to get them back to critique, the 6 of us decided to take a walk down to the lake. And it was beautiful. It was nice to get a chance to chill and talk with the others. I ended up coming up with a planned home for my second story and further plans for the future. And before the event was done, we all had the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with each instructor about whatever we wanted. By the end of the retreat, I was able to learn so much about writing, not only from the instructors, but from the other attendees. We've kept in touch almost daily since, and have plans to continue what we started at RAR, and I look forward to working with all those wonderful people again. We also were able to take some downtime and recorded a before and after RAR podcast for Fangs and Fonts. That will probably do the event more justice, but I would still highly recommend the event to any furry writer who thinks they might be at the limit they could reach alone. If you think you're at that point, applications are open now, and at RAR you will learn something: how to write better, critique better, plan better. And you get to do it with a group of people who all care about the same thing you do, writing. But for Rift, Otter, and myself, had more fun to get to and drove up to Biggest Little Fur Con afterwards. Now, I've done smaller cons. They end up being more about social events than panels, and BLFC felt like that. But with over 5,000 other furs there, it was super cool seeing such a chill social event in such a large space. But I will say that I was out of my element, not really knowing too many people there. If I'd done the con by myself... By itself, I certainly wouldn't have enjoyed myself as much. But my new friends were able to keep me engaged through and through. I was able to pick up a few Soap Wolf and For Planet books from the Rabbit Valley table, and I think I might have talked at least one person into buying Roar 7, which I was in. Got a shirt I've been eyeing for some time, and maybe my first shiny thing from Bad Dragon. BLFC was certainly a fun experience, and with enough social plans, I'd love to do it again. Well, I hope that's enough gushing from me for one night. Hope you guys enjoyed the reports. Take care of yourselves and each other. TJ Mind.
Good review.
Yeah. So thank you very much for the con reports. And it was really good to hear a report, an event report from RAR as well, which this was the second one, I believe. And they sound like really cool things. If you've heard of Clarion, is a well-known writing retreat in the sci-fi writing world. And this was kind of modeled similar to that. And it's just a really cool idea. It's been really neat seeing how much the furry writing community has grown in the last couple of years with things like this coming about to, like, really help writers hone their skills and, you know, grow and become better writers.
Cool stuff. It's not a perspective we always get, but that was really good. Thanks for writing in. Want to hit that next one, Shiva?
Sure.
Next one's kind of weird if it's the...
All right. Let's see. Just asking, what are some good things and bad things you could do at a fast food jobs? I'm 16 and I was recently hired to work at McDonald's. Woohoo. I'm a service person, so I work the register and or frying station. Just wondering what could be some of those. I also want to thank you for your hard work and dedication to this podcast, giving me great advice that got me on my mental burnout. Thanks again, Noah B. I think asking for how to do a good job.
Yeah, it's just like, yo, it's my first job. What do I do? Well, congratulations. You have joined the many legions of folks
who... Stop licking my toes.
For whom McDonald's is your first job?
Yeah. It was my second job. My first job was like a 4-week stint through the school district where I basically chopped a lot of vegetables and cleaned dishes at a nursing home. Yeah. And then, but the first job I went out and interviewed and got myself was McDonald's, so.
My first one was Six Flags. I was fry cook at a burger stand in the park for these 6 months. They only hire people 6 months at a time,
mm-hmm.
So by season. So, you know, you don't have a guaranteed spot. You just, mm-hmm. you work there. You can opt to rehire, and they were like, and generally, if you aren't a shithead, they'll be like, yeah, come back, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really far to drive. I mean, it was cool. I mean, I worked at Six Flags. I got to get in the park early, and if I wanted to stay after my shift and change out of my park clothes, I could totally ride rides and shit. It was great. I was getting paid to go to Six Flags. Wow! No, I also got a...
How old were you?
16.
Okay.
So I was young. I was this, you know, first job age, right? Mm. And then after that, I was like, it's really too far to drive. And I worked at McDonald's for maybe a little over a year.
I worked there for 4 years.
I was there in 2001.
Not the same store. So I did work for McDonald's for 4 years solidly. But that was in my hometown. Then I transferred down to the same ownership down in my college town. I went back to my hometown. Then I went to their third store, which is over the mountain into a ski resort town, where I really liked the managers and everything there a lot better than... Our home store was like a mile from my house, so no commute, versus, you know, like 10, 15 miles to get to the one in the ski resort town. But the owner of the store close to the house was such a miserable bitch to work for. I would rather drive, you know, 15 miles, sometimes in the snow and such, to go work in a ski resort town long before I would want to work the one where it's a 5-minute drive, if that.
So,
any advice for the person writing in?
Advice wise, doesn't hurt to be friendly with your management.
Be friendly, be cooperative. Don't argue.
Especially if you're just learning it. Be like, let them teach you how to do shit right, because, like, cash handling, you'll have to get, basically, they'll, like, when you work there as first, like, cashier-wise, they'll be checking your drawers, so be real careful with that. Like, obviously, don't steal from the till. I mean, I shouldn't have to tell you that, but they will be keeping an eye on you. And, like, with the fry station, be real careful. I mean, it's very simple. It's designed so that anybody can do it. But you can totally burn the shit out of yourself.
I did on many occasions.
When they teach you how to do shit, pay attention. And like, be cognizant of greasy floors and make sure you get the right non-slip shoes because holy shit.
Yeah, one of the tendons in my knee will vouch for that advice.
You know, and go in there willing to learn the steps. Don't think, oh, this job is beneath me. Now, there are totally shit jobs, don't get me wrong. And like, you know, capitalism ain't so hot, but you have to work within the system, but don't let them take advantage of you.
It'll look good later on that you're holding down a job at 16, even if it is McDonald's. I mean, if you're a teenager working, that looks good later on.
Yeah, it's kind of expected. You're going to have a fast food job at that age.
Basically, be friendly, pay attention, learn. Stay off your phone. Don't be sitting in the back of drive through, dicking around on your phone.
See, back when I worked, that was, again, 2000, 2001. That was kind of prior to the advent of internet on the phones. Like, I had super early proto-internet.
My cell phone was too heavy to carry in from the car, so...
I had one of the... It looked like a silver dildo, kind of. But it had early...
Enough of your Fox stories.
All right. I snuck it into work every day. No. But it had proto-AIM on it.
Oh.
I couldn't do... It wasn't, like, a smartphone of any sort. So I imagine people like, stash that shit in your locker. Don't be looking at Facebook while you're supposed to be taking orders.
Yeah, don't. Mm. They'll notice, and it will get you in trouble.
It'll be a problem. So, basically, just learn your job.
Do your job. Don't fuck off.
I remember... One of the managers always used to say, "You got time to lean, you got time to clean."
and that is a very true attitude. Even if it's dead in the store, they're going to want you to organize something, straighten up something. Mm-hmm. If they're paying you, they want you refill something.
Yeah, it's like you'll have you refill the ice containers and the soda machines.
Wipe down the counters.
Make sure that the bathrooms are clean. You know, this, that, and the other. I mean, it's not glamorous, but... It's a step into the capitalist nightmare of American society.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome
to our cyberpunk dystopia.
Yep.
On to you, Saturn.
Why hasn't Star Trek happened yet? This is awful.
This is actually a discussion that I had with Siam the other night. So, he drove pizzas, he's worked retail, he's done the schlep jobs we both have before we went into, like, the higher-paying tech industries. And it's we're both commenting on about how when you work a retail job or when you work a fast food job, you're expected to kind of leave your calendar open. Like, if they need you to come in, you're expected to be able to make that window, regardless if you have prior plans. Now, this does vary by the store. Some places don't have this. But they expect you to, if they need you... You will drop whatever you're doing and come in. It's a much more higher demand than even, like, being a fucking on-call technician is now,
mm-hmm.
where you're at least told that there's going to be a period where you need to be on deck.
Like Hoggle at the end of Labyrinth.
Yes.
Sure, you need us.
But whereas if you're a fast food or retail worker, it's not uncommon that you're expected to be on deck, on call, 24/7. If they have a need, you're expected to drop everything and go in, where there's a much higher paid jobs now, like Panthers, and mine will have an on-call day, where you're at least told you're going to be on deck if something goes tits up and if we need you.
And like with Panther, if he's on call and it's the weekend and he gets called at 4 in the fucking morning, he walks out here in his underwear, busts out the laptop, fixes the problem, goes back to bed. It's not like... Oh, shit, got to get my work uniform on, drive 5 minutes to work, and spend 8 hours because, you know, Johnny Foxcox over there didn't come to work or his car died.
That's another thing. Do not call in unless you have a damn good excuse. Hate to say it, a lot of the teenagers that I worked with would just say, oh, I don't feel like going in, and then they would basically screw... Well, that, not only would they get fired... They would make even if they didn't get fired, they would make it that much harder on everybody else there because now everybody else is picking up your shit.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of stories from my days at Wendy's where, like, this dude who called out frequently, the last straw for the manager was when he called in 5 minutes after he was supposed to be there from Georgia. This is when I lived in Florida. And it was just sort of like, yo, I'm in Georgia. I'm not going to be there on time. Well, fuck you. Just don't come in ever. Was basically the response, but without the fuck you.
The fuck you was implied.
The fuck you was implied, yeah. And the other time, oh my God, like, we had, like, the evening shift in the middle of the week was something like, I think it was supposed to be, like, 6 employees and a manager.
Mm-hmm.
4 people called out.
So it was a manager and 2 employees.
And I was one of the 2. And, like, you know, now I got to give the managers credit at that job. Everyone except for, I never saw the general store manager do it, but I mostly worked evenings. He worked during the day. All the managers always busted out and were out there flipping burgers, grabbing fry baskets, filling orders, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I would, like, take the order, make the drink, make the sandwich, grab the fries, bag it all, like, myself, and the manager would be, like, keeping all the meat on the grill, dropping fry baskets, and the drive-thru person was doing everything themselves, too, so it's like...
I just have this hilarious... It's hilarious as a external observer, but, like, the person at the back window, and you're also the person at the front window. Like, you take the order, run down the grill, slap the burger together, put the fries, make the drink, hand the person their order at the other end, then scurry back to the other.
So did you ever work drive-thru?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what's the weirdest thing you ever saw come through drive-thru?
Oh, fuck. I can't remember. I remember something weird that I did that was so stupid. Don't do this, kids. Like, so we had an A button and a B button on our drive-thru headsets, right? And A let you talk to the speaker if you, out where the car and the customer was. B let you talk to the other workers that were wearing headphones without the customer hearing. And I would occasionally hit the B button, say some funny shit whenever it was like a stressful night or something like that.
And you did it the wrong button.
I did it the wrong button, and I remember about what I said. You know, it was something like, yeah, it's going to be about a minute, so I just jerk off or something while you wait. And I was like 17, and I still had this horrible sense of humor. But
did you get in trouble?
I heard the customer go, what was that? And then I looked down and I was like, oh, shit. And my coworker was on the sandwich station. His eyes got, like, wide like saucers. And I was like, moving on, you know? Like,
yeah.
Starting to get the drink.
Please pull to the next window.
Just not.
Thank you. Please try through.
Not saying anything. Yeah. Thank you. Come again.
Let's see. Mine was, it's a toss-up. The llamas or the dude on horseback? We came through semi-regularly. So we were, minivan pulled through. And we thought, it was like a lady, and we thought that she had like some, either like taxidermy llamas or like plush llamas or something that you would like for a store display. And then one moved and turned its head and looked at us. And no, it was a black llama and a white llama, like kneeling down like llamas do, sitting very quietly and very contentedly in the back of the minivan.
Mm-hmm.
As she went through drive-thru. I'm like, so they weren't milling around or panic. Apparently, the llamas go for rides all the time, judging by how very zen they were about being in this minivan. But we also had, there was a horse farm not too far down the road, and they would, you know, walk them and, you know, drive them all around. And occasionally, they would come through drive-thru, you know, on horseback. And by the way, horses like the McDonald's kids' cookies.
Oh. So one thing that I remember did happen to me when I was working at Wendy's drive-thru, there was an old bank next door that they were demolishing.
Go ahead.
That they were demolishing in order to build something new. So, like we're there in the middle of the day, we're taking orders, and... Like, I turn my volume down because I know this is going to be loud, and just boom, building just dust. And I slammed the little drive-thru window closed. It's just this wave of dust like a fucking sandstorm.
And you're like, well, glad the window wasn't open because that would have made everything delicious.
Yeah.
Asbestos.
That was just timing, but that was kind of amusing.
On the note of old things in fast food, so the one in my hometown was
about... That roach is our oldest employee!
Well, it was on the corner of what was considered a busy intersection by small-town New Hampshire standards.
It had a light.
Yeah, it had a light. Well, no, it had a blinking light.
Oh,
okay. So there was, like, a grocery store, car dealership, McDonald's, and there was a house that cycled through various businesses.
Yeah.
And sometime after I left that particular store, I get a panic call by my mom because a little old lady had had a heart attack going through the intersection and hit the accelerator, plowed through the intersection, plowed through like the parking lot, jumped the curb, went through the dining room, and hit. So once you hit the dining room wall, you start going into the kitchen. And she crashed through the kitchen. Luckily, missed my sister, who happened to be in the freezer at the time getting a load of something, pushed through the kitchen and threw one of the girls up onto the grill.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I don't remember if the little lady, you know, was fine or not or what, but yeah, basically she had a heart attack and plowed through the entire goddamn restaurant in the middle of, you know, like a fairly busy lunch.
Mm.
But she managed to, like, miss all the cars, miss the cars in the drive-thru, get a clear shot over the curb, through the parking lot, through the wall, and right into the kitchen. Yeah, that was kind of chaotic. So.
Your dog's now asleep at our feet.
Yes. Yep. He is currently flopped on his side at Sheba's and Fuzz's feet. I never really had anything exciting, though, like, occasionally you'd have the various, like, Red Bull reps back when that was first becoming popular in the U.S. They had the little, like, minis with the giant cans on the back.
Oh, they're still around. They still do promos everywhere. Yeah,
and they'd occasionally come through and be like, oh, want one? Yes, please. So, that
Save
was nice.
Me.
All right, so I'm going to get this next email. Let's see. So, topic idea, furry tribe tournament. This would be a game. Tavern and crew, though I'd give a potential topic of conversation for an upcoming podcast. If the Persona tribes are competing for a space on Notcast, along with the Fox, Wolf, and Cat crew, who would win? I've developed the test tournament bracket so Saverin, Fuzz, and Sheba can vote in the competing tribes until there is one victor. They can talk about what makes each tribe unique and awesome until one is the awesomest, at least for today. I pulled the 16 tribes from the research done by our friends at the International Anthropomorphic Research Project and seeded the tribes by popularity, of course, according to IARP's research. No foxes, wolves, or cats of any kind allowed, since, you know, you folks are already you. Have fun. I'm interested to hear how it plays out. Charwolf. So, opening this up, we have ourselves in rank one. So, we're going to go from left to right. So, Husky or Skunk?
Husky.
I kind of would go for Skunk.
I'm biased.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Skunk.
All right. Okay, so Skunk makes it.
So, Skunk moves on. Griffin or Gator?
Griffin.
Gator.
Griffin. Okay, so
Griffin goes on. Yeah.
Griffin versus Skunk.
Oh, Sergal or Otter?
Otter.
Otter.
Dragon or Bear?
Dragon.
Dragon.
Dragon. All right, so on that side we have Skunk and Griffin and Otter and Bear. Or Otter and Dragon.
Otter and Dragon.
Okay, so...
Okay.
So Skunk or Griffin?
Skunk.
I'd still say Skunk.
Problem is there's a lot of different styles of Griffins, and Skunks are pretty static. Skunk.
Yeah. I mean, there can be some really nice Griffins, and we know some nice Griffins.
It really depends on the style of the Griffin.
Yeah. So, Otter or Dragon?
Otter.
Otter.
Yeah. Otter. Slinky wet boys.
So, Otter versus Skunk.
I still say Skunk.
Otter.
Otter.
Okay, so on the left side, we have Otter going into the final. So on the right side, German Shepherd or Horse?
Horse.
Horse.
All right, Horse is fine. Raccoon or Hyena?
Raccoon.
Hyena.
So Like,
what did you say, Adam?
I said raccoon.
Okay. So raccoon goes on.
Raccoon. All right.
I mean, hyenas are fine too. Rabbit or raven? I say rabbit.
I say rabbit.
Rabbit.
Yeah, take that, birds. Rat or bat?
Rat.
I like bats.
Oh, it's such a tough call.
It's like rat or flying rat. No.
Yeah. No. I mean, I've seen some really cute bat characters, but then, like, one of my first furry influences was Secret of Nim, and I had a crush on Justin.
Yeah.
So rat.
All right, so horse or raccoon?
Horse.
Horse.
Horse, yeah.
All right. And rabbit or rat?
I'm going to go rat, but I know you guys are going to go rabbit.
See, I say bunny, I say rabbit, but because I'm Judy. Also biased.
I'll go rabbit.
All right, so that puts us down to...
Rabbit versus horse.
Rabbit versus horse.
Wait, no, horses... Oh, right, on that side, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say... rabbit, because all those rabbit boys on FA have cute little butts and those little tails.
Yeah. So it's like, do you want big dummy horse or bunny?
I want bunny.
Horse.
Also, Judy represent, yo.
Yeah, but...
All right, which one did you go with?
I'm going to say horse.
Yeah, because Shinigami girls horses.
Yeah.
Oh, she does draw really nice horses.
Yeah.
So, all right, so now we're down to horse versus skunk.
Horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Horse. So there we go. Our very scientific tribe tournament horse would be the tournament. So it could be a cute femboy horse or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's some
there we go.
There's all across the map.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, all right, how, you've been recruited. Why? Well, because we want to fuck you the most and not be fucked by.
Yeah, but you've got everything from... Anthroponies to Shinigami style. You've got the big Clydesdales. You have some of the like chubby little but actually like female, like curvy girls that have been done.
Or
I mean,
like the Clydesdale females that are just like mountains of muscle and huge.
Mm-hmm. Where you got the Amazonian thing going on. You've got the mythical. I would lump like unicorns and Pegasi and all like the horse forms into this too. So. Mm-hmm. You know, you got all different flavors that you could go with horse.
Yeah. Yeah. And if anything, remember, there's no cock like horse cock.
All right. And MLP, all those beautiful mares with massive horse cocks.
This next one. Oh, yep. My God.
It's a very important question.
Okay. So it's my turn. Yeah. Is vor a sandwich if the prey is holding a slice of bread in each hand?
Yes.
I would say, according to Gordon Ramsay, yes.
Yes.
What are you? An idiot sandwich.
So if the prey is holding bread against itself, it is indeed a sandwich.
Yeah.
If the prey can be conceived as being...
A sandwich has bread, Anakin!
A Pop-Tart is a sandwich.
Chicken is a sandwich.
Oh, Sarah's been asking me to go look up the fucking sandwich alignment chart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So.
I don't think I've seen that. I saw the toilet roll alignment chart on Facebook just before we started recording.
Just like over or under. There is only two.
No, there was nine in this case. Like chaotic evil, they just tore the whole thing off the wall. Like the actual holder.
I would assume I've seen a version where it's like the toilet roll has been pierced through the middle. you know how it's a cylinder that faces you that's been like pierced, turned 90 degrees and pierced through so that you can't actually get your toilet off of it. Oh, goodness. So, yes, sandwich alignment chart.
It was like, is it a sandwich?
And, like, thanks, Google, it automatically, like... Okay. All right, so here we go, kids. This is some very important science up in here. Just as we science together a freaking furry bracket, we're going to rotate this shit and read the sandwich alignment chart. All right, so the sandwich alignment chart, it goes on the vertical axis, structure purist, structure neutral, or structure rebel. On the horizontal line, it's ingredient purist, ingredient neutral, or ingredient rebel. All right, so... On the ingredient purist, structural purist, a hardline traditionalist, a BLT is a sandwich. on the structural purist and ingredient neutral, a chip buddy is a sandwich.
Which, ooh, if you don't know, is a piece of bread buttered and that's filled with chips. French fries.
The butter's optional.
Yeah. I don't know.
The chips are not.
See, I was always told it's not a chip buddy without the butter, because that's where you get the buddy from.
A chip buddy's whatever you make it last.
No, it clearly isn't.
This is something, like, I'm surprised even, like, you guys knew that term, because it's like a British thing.
I lived
thing.
In fucking Australia, yeah.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
About that, they're British by proxy, right?
Yeah.
An ingredient rebel can contain literally any food product sandwiched together. So, ice cream between waffles is a sandwich. All right, so that's the structure purist. It's two things between two pieces of things that could be bread.
Like my dick between a bunny's butt cheeks is a sandwich?
Only if he's made of bread.
No, so, he said two things between another thing, right?
Structure neutral
bread?
And ingredient purist. The container must be on either side of the toppings, but not necessarily two separate pieces. A sub is a sandwich. Structure neutral, ingredient neutral. A hot dog is a sandwich. Ingredient rebel, structure neutral. An ice cream taco is a sandwich. And this is where shit gets wild. As wild as a sandwich debate can be, right?
Yeah.
Structure rebel, ingredient purist. A chicken wrap is a sandwich. No, it's a fucking wrap.
Yeah, man. It does what it says on the tin. It's in the name.
Now, it gets wilder. Structure rebel, ingredient neutral. A burrito is a sandwich. No. And radical sandwich anarchy, a Pop-Tart is a sandwich. So don't be one of those radical sandwich anarchists. Now, if you want to make a sandwich using, like, you could be totally fucking crazy and put two Pop-Tarts on either side of a waffle. That could be.
That would be a sandwich.
Or, you know, invert it, two waffles and a Pop-Tart. Or you can put two Pop-Tarts and, like, put butter between them and some peanut butter. That could be a sandwich. But a Pop-Tart by itself is not a sandwich. Feel free to write in and let us know what you think about our sandwich alignment chart.
I know. Weirdest sandwich you've either eaten voluntarily or you've seen somebody else eat. Mine usually makes people gag. So
you can write into the show at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can send us anon questions again at the Tumblr, notcast.tumblr.com, and also we have a Patreon if you would like to support the show. We go to patreon.com/notcast, yeah. They changed their icon. It looks dumb.
Yeah.
Though
I haven't seen your new icon.
It's like a vertical bar with an orange circle. It looks like the Rankin-Bass animation logo minus the bottom circle. Zap pointed that out.
Yeah, there it is.
And it was funny because
that looks fucking retarded. Kadath, I like their
it
old
looks
ones.
Like it's supposed to be like a record player.
Yeah. And then Kadath posted his like new Patreon version of Puzzle, and it was just like stick, zebra head, giant tits.
Yeah.
So there's that. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Savin Drake. Find me on YouTube at Just a Fox. I haven't posted anything in over a month at this point, so I may reboot.
Slacker.
I have been a very big slacker, you are correct. I occasionally get bursts of inspiration, put out some comic stuff, but I have to find the stuff. And, like, the Let's Play stuff nobody really watches. I mean, some people watch it, yes. But I may do a let's ramp up and kill some Nazis and play through, because I bought Wolfenstein The New Order. So I may do a Nazi killing series and just be like, hi, sir, I'd like to talk to you about the principle of nonviolence. Oh, you're shooting at me? Well, time to hang the black flag and slit some throats. Or shotgun them, or whatever. It's a fun game. It's also $10 on Steam until the 19th. How about you?
Order now! You can go to fuzzwolf.com, and all my contact links are there. But I'm just Fuzzwolf on Twitter. That's
because you finally reclaimed that name.
Yep.
Like,
I know.
4 or 5 years ago.
I know. I just remember at the beginning, it's like someone has that name. Yeah.
I have to be. I should have gotten like the real Fuzzwolf or something like that.
True Fuzzwolf 420.
That would have sucked before Twitter stopped counting the usernames as part of the tweet count. Yeah, and I'm Fozwolf on Twitter, and that's pretty much the only social media I use, and I'm very often tempted to not use it because it is hella distracting.
I've been getting really lazy about checking Twitter, so...
It's kind of a hellscape.
Well, it's partially... I also used to check it more regularly when I was helping out with some of TFF's, like, social media stuff. Mm. But since I've backed away from that, then I don't check Twitter as often. So, plus, our local friends group started using, like, Telegram to organize shit instead of, like, shouting on it about Twitter. Which, for a while, was how people were telling each other about get-togethers.
Yeah, it's Twitters. Yeah.
Now it's Telegrams.
Yeah.
Also, important tweet. Look, I'm all about celebrating cultural differences, but the fact that PB&J sandwiches aren't a thing in the UK is pretty messed up. And on that final note, good night.
And big balls.